Hey, gang! Welcome to National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, the last bastion of free speech in the galaxy, maybe the universe. We haven't explored the whole thing yet, but it is really, really hard to find free speech. So go to republicbroadcasting.org, click on the donate button, and send a contribution, because free speech ain't cheap, that's for sure. Also go to nationalbugle.com. Look at all of the great stories that Mark Dankoff and, to an extent, myself, we find for you. We put them up there for your enjoyment. And then you can, while you're there, you can download the Kosher Certified app, which is enjoyable, and it will help you lead a non-kosher certified lifestyle, because we don't want to be kosher certified. Come on. This is a live show. So Patrick Slattery live in the studio with my trusty sidekick, Mr. T, my anthropomorphic sidekick, Mr. T, at the switchboards, ready to take your call in a surprisingly human voice. It's surprising. It's amazing what we can do nowadays with technology and whatnot. So that's the situation. You can call in. We can talk about dogs and daughters and, you know, no big whoop. The phone number here at RBN, 1-800-313-9443. 1-800-313-9443. We can talk about, oh gosh, all sorts of stuff. We're going to start off, I'm just going to go on a rambling stream of consciousness. My goodness. Actually, I was just on the phone with a friend of mine, and talk about rambling streams of consciousness. So I don't know if I can meet those standards, but I'm going to start off. So because it's topical, because we're talking about it, let's go with the virus first, the novel coronavirus, which I guess has a new name nowadays. And I know that you come to RBN for information, for news and information. And let me tell you something. I don't have any information on this. I don't know anything about it. So it supposedly started in Wuhan. Wuhan supposedly is the site of a Chinese biological research facility that has been weaponized or militarized. So what does that mean? It means, well, maybe the virus is one of these things that leaped from species to species. We've all heard about it leaping from bats. I heard, who was it? Was it Tucker or somebody was talking about it leaping from pangolins, which are these, they're dinosaur, they're kind of like shaped like small dinosaurs. They look kind of like a slightly cuter version of a stegosaurus, but instead of having plates sticking up from its spine, it's just got, it's kind of like, looks like a pine cone with legs, and it's like a cross between an anteater and a pine cone, basically. And they're actually kind of cute. I saw one once in a Chinese medicine store in Bangkok, and so they talk about that. I'm about to go to the phone lines, but yeah, these things can leap from species to species. That's plausible. Could it have been some sort of bioweapon developed by the Chinese that leaked out somehow? That's plausible. But let's just say you're the CIA or even the Mossad, and you've got motivation to stick it to China. I mean, after all, didn't they just spend all of last year trying to stick it to China by these astroturfed demonstrations in Hong Kong? And if that was what you were going to do, and you knew that there was a weaponized or militarized bioweapons research facility in Wuhan, wouldn't you want to release it in Wuhan? I'm going to ask that question to William from Montana. William, what would you do? If you were trying to cause massive death and destabilization in the largest country on Earth, what would you do? Or maybe more to the point, what would Jesus do? Hello?
Gates, William? And Melinda Gates do.
Yeah, well, Yeah, what would Melinda Gates do? Bill and Melinda Gates, or Stephen and Melinda Gates. Is Stephen, you remember Stephen Colbert? That was his thing. He was starting his own fund with Melinda Gates, the Stephen and Melinda Gates Foundation. So what would you do?
It's interesting that you did outline the three possibilities, which I've been following this more closely than I really wanted to. And also, I want to thank you for having live shows, because I know that's a sacrifice on your part, because you could be doing real work,
Yeah, making money.
For pay,
Yeah.
and I know that this is a real service. I really appreciate you allowing people to weigh in.
Thank you.
But to
Thank you
get
for your
back to your
service.
question, you know how it's always interesting that, when we have these episodes that change things, like some shooting in the Boston Marathon, or the Twin Towers. I mean, it's always interesting that there was, right before these things happen, sort of a blow-by-blow exercise. Sometimes they were taking place right at the time when the incident was reported. And what's interesting is, I've seen on the internet where they said, oh, back in April or January of 2018, Bill Gates talked about, he sort of predicted that there could be a coronavirus that would appear and kill 30 million in 6 or 18 months. But what's more interesting, if you want a blow-by-blow sort of lowdown, and this was also an exercise, and it was funded by not only Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, but the World Economic Forum, and they went to Johns Hopkins and they said, "Hey, would you run this? Well, we're going to call it an exercise. It's a simulation. And what we're going to do is we're going to get a bunch of intelligent people from business and government. We'll even throw in the UN, although we'll try to keep them quiet. And then also there was a significant number of intelligence people, although I guess one of them had changed jobs and now he's working for the U.S. Department of whatever that CDC or whatever the thing that does the disease control. Well, and so they said, we're going to assemble all these wonderful people. It was about 20-some people, and they're all going to be experts. And then what we're going to do, they don't know this, but through money that we received from these supporters, we got real actors, and we're going to show four videos, and they're going to look like newscast, breaking news. And none of these people on the forum know what's coming, but we're going to do this, and then we're going to have these people respond. And this thing was called, this was done planned in October, done in the first part of November, and it was called, what is it, Event 201. And what they said was that, well, we figured out, we didn't spend too much time on the name, but we figured out that the World Health Organization, deals with about 200 epidemics per year, and so we just called it 201. Which is kind of interesting, because if you see the zero as the Earth, and you know something about Agenda 21, it was a little bit coincidental that that was chosen. But what was very interesting about this, and you can go, I recommend, I guess it's 12 minutes long, and if you type in Event 201, and look for highlight reel. It's about 12 minutes long, and you'll get to see all of these businessmen and government officials go through a pandemic, which in the course of this simulation, they said it started in swines, a bunch of pigs down in South America, and unbelievably, it jumped to humans, and before 18 months was up, it killed 60 million people worldwide.
So this is their simulation, you're saying?
This is the simulation. Mm-hmm. It was so, I mean, this is like blow by blow, except the names were changed. And if you look at that, it's called Event 201 Pandemic Exercise, mm-hmm. Highlight Real. Mm-hmm. And then if you look at the whole thing, and the whole thing is recorded, it's about 3 hours. But if you want to know blow by blow how this thing is going to end up, you can't do any better than invest time looking at the full conference. And if you actually hear the players and what they're suggesting, it's really very interesting. One of the big things that the point man for the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, he kept coming back and saying, look, why not let big business, who already has their fingers in all these globalist places, why not let them take the lead with the help of a few intelligence agencies and also governments? Because one of the things that we have learned from this simulation is that we're going to have to do some things that may not really sit well with democratic sensibilities. Mm-hmm. You know, just like we've seen, I mean, the World Health Organization has said, boy, China gets an A-plus for how they've handled this. You know, they did some things that probably wouldn't sit real well with our democratic sensibilities. But, and as this one intelligence agent turned disease control.
Yes. I'd like to ask a couple questions, and then you can
go back to
your stream of what you're thinking of. But first of all, just one point. Even 60 million people, that's less than 1% of the world population. That's a drop in the bucket in terms of reducing our population. But what is it exactly that the Chinese are doing? Because we hear about certainly the city of Wuhan and maybe the Hubei province or the bulk of it being quarantined. So, but that quarantine doesn't simply mean they can't go in and out, they can't cross the provincial or city boundaries. Aren't like huge numbers of people kind of like on lockdown within their apartments, and they're just staying in their apartments? Do you know exactly the protocol of this?
Yeah, if you look at, they said one, I just got this morning, just about an hour ago, they said that the quarantine in China is traveling faster than the virus, and they are extending this quickly to try to stop it from going China-wide, although they're kind of, you know...
I was watching, I think it was BBC News yesterday, and I thought they were interviewing a man on the street in Beijing who was talking about having been quarantined in his area in Beijing, which is... many, many hundreds of miles from Wuhan.
I saw videos. You know, Beijing has more video cameras per, you know, population than anywhere except maybe the city of London. Mm-hmm. And it looked like one of those sets on a Hollywood the day after the big... I mean, this is Beijing, downtown Beijing, and there's no cars on the street. You don't... I mean, where are all these cars and where are all these people? Beijing is a very large city, and this looked like, you know, one of those Hollywood sets on one of those, you know, apocalyptic movies, and that was in Beijing. And one of the things that, you know, I've been trying to find reliable scientific information on this thing, in quotes, reliable scientific information, and what's interesting is that there are a lot of sources, and one of them that I fell upon was John Hopkins has a very good center where you can sign up to get daily updates on this, and they have fairly good information. But other epidemiologists around the world are saying, but, you know, this is false precision because you are relying on information that's released, and it doesn't take very long to go and look at how deaths are being reported. And a lot of people in China, especially in Hubei and Wuhan, the city of Wuhan and the province of Hubei, you You know, one of the things that they are up against is people now, they can't report. I mean, if you call up and say, my husband has just come down with a fever and he's having trouble breathing, probably within the hour, your whole family may be hauled off to a quarantine area, you know. And they always show pictures of three doctors in hazmat suits standing in front of a wall of medical equipment and one patient in the bed.
Do you figure that a family would fear that, if, you know, somebody maybe just has a regular cold or a flu, they get hauled away to a quarantine facility and then get the virus that way?
Would there be that fear? That is why what was very interesting is that I think it was on the 9th or something, there was a central government a proclamation that said, we are really disappointed in the governor of Wuhan. Because, you know, then it basically sort of said in fancy language, you know, why didn't you stop these people when they started drinking that bat, you know, eating that bat soup? And so the governor came out to try to save his butt, and he said, we are going to even increase the surveillance. We're going to go house to house, and we're going to find people who are hiding their symptoms or, you know, trying to keep, you know, avoid this surveillance system and being collected. And he even went beyond that, and he said, and if I find any people hiding, you know, evidence of their disease, I am going to nail them to the, he called it, the Chinese translated as, the history pillar of shame. Mm-hmm. And this was like from a medieval reference where they had a big pole in the center of the town and they would take criminals and nail them or chain them to this pillar. And he thought that was, I mean, he was just going overboard to say, I'm going to double down and find these culprits. And 2 days later,
hey, William, there was a keep talking for a minute. I'll be right back.
For sure. So anyway, that was the, you know, the thing is getting, you know, not reported. The number of deaths, and as I say, these scientists are taking these numbers, you know, the number of people that are under observation, the number of people who died, the number of people who have been released. And they're doing all these medical calculations to come up with these indicators of what's happening. You know, like, well, it's this number, it's this number, but other people have said...
Sorry about that. That does happen with live radio.
Yep. So I was just talking about how the numbers are being used to crunch and come up with these indicators that public health officials around the world and especially in China use to make decisions, but the numbers themselves are kind of meaningless because they're finding a lot of people in apartments that are dead. You know, the whole family has died because, like I say, you're not going to call up and self-volunteer. You're going to hope for the best that maybe you can take some medicine and, you know, herbal medicine and get
well, we hear our North Korean music. It's not Chinese music. I should get some Chinese music for these shows. But North Korean music is a lot nicer. Anyway, we're going to go off to the break. Will you be able to stick around for the other side?
Sure. I have a couple more things to say, and I think I'll be here.
Okay, we'll be right back.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. and knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Welcome back to the show. That's not North Korean music nor Chinese music. That is Applebag music. Filbert Applebag Thursday. So inspired by our Scandinavian forefathers. So, William, I have a question before you continue.
Sure.
I wouldn't know whether the Chinese authorities are handling this the right way or the wrong way. I wouldn't know. And I don't know if it would how an observer would know, because we really don't even know what's going on. But certainly China, if there is a way of handling this, and that way of handling this is very authoritarian and heavy-handed, they would be much more able to carry it off than probably any other government on Earth. So maybe they're going to handle this just fine. When I watch PBS NewsHour or BBC, and they're interviewing people from John Hopkins or the Center for Disease Control or whatever, these right. people all seem to be full of themselves, as if they would know what to do. But would they? And would the methods required for enforcing quarantine, if that's the right way to go about it, would those methods be implementable in the United States? I mean, could you implement a quarantine in Harlem, for instance?
Well, you know, one of the things that there's some things that are leaking out. Everybody's centered on, you know, the reports that are coming out, and like I said, the Center for Health Security at Johns Hopkins is doing a good job, although they're pretty much depending upon these numbers. I mean, these are very precise numbers, but as other people have said, that if you actually look, like when they discover, you know, a bunch of people in an apartment complex and they're dead, they have these kits for determining whether it's and you're not supposed to say coronavirus; you're supposed to call it COVID-19. That's the World Health Organization. Because the World Health Organization, that is also a cheerleading team for China, they came out and said, we can never, in order to honor diversity and to not stop, we don't want to become xenophobic, we can never refer to a pandemic or an epidemic by a geographical location, a person, or an animal, or a specific ethnic, you know, group. Patrick, isn't that the way we get a handle on what something is, by using those categories? So anyway, one of the things that has come out of this is that, you know, they've said, oh, we're really staying on the top of this. But one of the things that have leaked to the top is that if you were looking for a bioweapon, you couldn't do much better than this COVID-19, because one of the things that has a few significant characteristics that are just perfect for a bioweapon. One, it has a longer incubation period. And while the people, you know, and it's controversial as to whether it's three, they tried to say 3 days, now they're saying 8. At one time they were saying 14.
So and you can be asymptomatic but still pass on the disease.
Yes. And then they just discovered recently that 2% of the people who are infected with this, seriously infected, do not have a temperature. And they do also don't have, congestion, pneumonia-like type symptoms. But they may have diarrhea, and they may have acute stomach cramps and stuff like that, and weakness. And they will pass that test when someone takes their temperature, and they are also able to transmit this. And this test that they use to determine whether you're infected, it has like a 30% to 50% false negative kind of record. It's not very accurate. And so a lot of people who are let go come back with the disease in 3 or 4 days, even though they were, in quotes, tested.
So and how about so again, these people who were brought home from the cruise liner that had been ported in Yokohama, and allegedly 14 of them knew they were infected. But I saw somebody who was interviewed on BBC, maybe, who was saying that she lied about having been tested or having gotten a negative result, and then on the way back, on the airplane back, it came down with symptoms.
So, well, actually, that Diamond Princess cruise ship, I mean, how many people have come down with this? Well, it started out at 14 and then went to 30, and now, just as of this morning, it says it has increased to 542 out of the 2,400 tested, and that 254, 47% of the cases were asymptomatic carriers.
And by the way, that port is downtown. That is not off to the side somewhere.
I know. I've actually seen that port, you know. And the thing about it is
I've sailed into that port. Yeah.
How terrifying to go and get a great deluxe.
Can you stick around for the next segment? We don't have any other calls. Okay, we'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Many people tell us about their experience with Extendivite. Just listen to what Glenn has to say.
Prior to taking it, I had diabetic neuropathy. The Extendivite reduced that significantly. Acid reflux was reduced. I had athlete's foot, very severe. Trimmed that down to about 75%. Dandruff, almost completely gone. I had occipital neuralgia at the base of my skull. I was having migraines, reduced by about 90%. Heart palpitations, my heart would kind of stall out. I would skip a beat. Very uncomfortable. And when walking from downstairs going to sleep, by the time I got to the bedroom, which is just one flight of stairs, my heart was pounding, coming out of my chest. My vision was blurry. This completely solved that problem. Great product. Thanks.
Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
How would you like to earn an extra $10,000 or more a month from the comfort of your home? We show you how to win with a home-based business opportunity. This could be one of the best financial decisions you ever make. Work from home, full-time or part-time. Plus, you'll never have to talk to anyone. Our professional sales team closes all your sales for you, and you keep 70% of all the sales made. You could be earning money while you're sleeping, shopping, working out, wherever you are, day or night. Our system goes to work for you. You can make a great income without any special computer skills or sales training. Plus, you get paid fast, within just 24 to 48 hours after our professional sales team closes a sale for you. Let us help you eliminate your financial concerns. You could be earning enough money to pay off debt, buy a house, a car, or whatever the case may be. We've got you covered. If you'd like to add an extra $10,000 or more a month to your portfolio, and you would like to know exactly what we're doing and how we're doing it, go now to www.getstartedwithus.com. That's www.getstartedwithus.com. Again, that's www.getstartedwithus.com.
Welcome back to the show, National Bugle Radio, with Patrick and William from Montana, and we're discussing the coronavirus and the port at Yokohama. And I don't know about nowadays, but the Konstantin Chernenko used to ply the waters between the port of Yokohama and Nohotka, which is the port that they used to use when Vladivostok was just a military port. And so the cruise ship would go to Nohotka in the Soviet Far East. Those were the days. But
those were the days.
Yeah, and that port of Yokohama, it is right there. You are just a short walk from the busiest parts of the city, the business area, the tourist area. So how are they, I mean, it's too late. This virus is all over the earth now. And what's going to happen in countries where they don't have the means, or either the will or the means to quarantine large numbers of people, if that's what is required in the first place?
Well, the thing that, just some details about that Diamond Princess cruise ship. Just a week or so ago, they had like 30 cases on board, and now they have confirmed that there are 542, this is as of this morning, of the 24 people tested, of crew and passengers on that ship. And what's really scary is 47% or 254 of the positive cases, the ones that have passed this test as having the disease, were asymptomatic carriers. I mean, they felt great. They weren't coughing. They didn't feel like they had a fever. And what's interesting is they've made this stupid decision. A lot of people have criticized them. They said, for those passengers who have no symptoms, as if that really is the definitive thing, and who have been there for 14 days and have tested negative, even though this test is known to be 30 to 50%, you know, inaccurate, they will be allowed to disembark and will not be kept under further health observation after leaving the ship. And people who hear this, this was like a decision made by the Japanese Ministry of Health, are saying, are you kidding me? I mean, releasing these people on their own in Yokohama, which is just a stone's throw away from
it is part of the Tokyo metropolis. It's contiguous with
Kanto
it.
Plain. I mean, it's just the one of the highest population areas.
Yeah, 35 million people in the Kanto Plain, all within easy commuting distance of downtown Tokyo.
Right, and so that's sort of a thing. Like, what on earth are they doing now? One of the things when we were talking about what the Chinese are doing, they have placed major restrictions. Now, they think that there is over 150 million. Now, that in China, that's not a lot, but 150 million are their movements are restricted to home. Mm-hmm. This isn't like restricted to the town or the province. They're restricted to their home. And companies that can't demonstrate that they have technology to do like FaceTime or whatever, that WeChat or whatever, you know, where you can, they don't want people, if they go to work, and it has to be work that is considered strategic, they don't want people going from desk to desk or going into the cafeteria or... They recommend not using the bathroom. I don't know how you do that. And so they say that if you can't conduct business in your company over the computer without people having face-to-face contact, we're going to restrict that. We're not going to allow you to conduct work. And so this is not just, let's not run around, let's not go visit relatives.
Mm-hmm.
This is very major restrictions,
and the Chinese apparently, at least in the cities, have the ability to enforce this. And so you think the Chinese have the ability to enforce it. You got a country like Japan, which isn't as heavy-handed, but where you've got a very conscientious population. I was in Japan after the earthquake/tsunami, and the government had told people don't use air conditioning, and so don't wear a necktie and jacket to work. Go in Bermuda shorts, and everybody went in Bermuda shorts. And then they said, well, and also eat lunch in the dark. Turn off, because they were trying to save electricity. Turn off the lights when it's lunchtime, and just eat lunch in the dark in your office. And people did that. People, they're cooperative. We can't do that here, can we? I mean, are you going to get the barriers and the hoods and all? Would people go along with that?
Yeah, and Japan often says, hey, and at the top of the hour, turn to channel so-and-so, and you will hear some comedian do a bunch of jokes and skits, and then laugh, because laughter increases the immune system. And so they've done that on many occasions, like radiation poisoning, the best thing for it is a laugh. And there's different cultures approaching this differently. But what's also interesting is people say, well, how long is this going to last? And a few people have come forward and said, well, I think it's like most coronaviruses, it'll peter out towards the end of February. Well, this isn't like most coronaviruses. And one of the things that this, Project 201, or Event 201, this simulation that was done on November 4th, one of the things they said was, it's not just the people dying, But the severe economic impact can last for years and maybe even decades.
Yeah, and, it certainly could. Hey, I have a question.
Yep.
It's a basic question. Is this virus, is it more contagious than other coronaviruses or other flu viruses? Is it that it's more contagious? Is it that it's more deadly? Is it a combination of the two? Do you know?
Combination of the two. They believe that there's certain numbers, and like they say, you can't believe the numbers because people who die outside of these quarantine areas are not listed as dying from coronavirus, even though all the evidence seems to indicate that, because they say you can't say that unless they have, you know, you had some of one of these nucleic acid tests, which we can't waste on the dead because we don't even have enough the way it is. So one of the things some people have said, that the infection rate is about 82%. Now, other reliable sources.
What does that mean?
The infection rate is like if you're exposed to the virus, 82% get the disease.
Wow. Because, I mean, sometimes there will be a bug that's going around your neighborhood, and everybody or lots of people seem to get it. But 82% seems
well,
wow.
I think it's probably more like other sources that I've looked at were saying more like 62%, 68%. But that's like about four times higher than SARS, you know, and this has been compared to that. And they said that they think that the mortality rate for this virus is somewhere around 12%. Now, initially, the SARS virus, they said it was 15%, and after all the numbers were in, it was more like 2.5%.
So, and I guess one of our typical really flus is probably going to be well under 1%, and that would mostly be elderly who were infirm, probably, right?
And one of the things that's interesting about this is this the heavy-handedness of the government has been the cheerleaders, you know, like the World Health Organization and the CDC have said, this is the type of thing that we need to do. We need to hit this thing with everything we got. And one of the intelligence agency's guys, who's now working for the CDC, he said, until we get on a war footing, we will not be able to stop a pandemic like this.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
and,
so,
and,
you know, we've been talking about
generals,
the medical issues related to it now. Now, I'm sure you know that the, the new plan for securing the realm or whatever that paper was that Richard Perle and Donald Wormser had written for Netanyahu when he was prime minister during his first term in the mid-90s. And that talked about the desirability of biological weapons that could target certain ethnic groups, right? Well, that was in the 1990s. Well, what's happened since the 1990s? Well, in the 2000s, we had the Human Genome Project, and where we actually mapped out the human genome. And then since then, because of high throughput genetic sequencing, we're now getting just like archives of tens of thousands of individuals' genomes. And so the difference between a Chinese or East Asian genome and, a Middle Eastern or a European or African genome, this is becoming increasingly clear, and it's used by Ancestry.com and 23andMe. Why wouldn't one suspect, especially seeing does this have a higher death rate or infection rate to Orientals or to Chinese than it does to Occidentals? Do you know?
Absolutely. And they have, there's been a big campaign to say, oh, no, there was an American doctor who died from it, but he's both from, if you dug, and there was one guy who dug to try to find out who he was, they said both of his parents were Chinese. He was originally from China,
He has an American passport, and so that.
But he came to the United States. He's an American citizen, and so they were trying to say, see,
so he's American boy.
China. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
And one of the things, I mean, hello?
Yeah, we're here.
Yeah, one of the things is that the designer viruses, probably every nation is working on this, usually under the guise of we need to develop these super serious viruses so that we can protect our people, you know, from the bad intentions of others. And it's interesting that one person reported that one of China's biotech and bioweapons lab is only 500 yards from that famous fish market where supposedly the bat soup was eaten. And if you look at this, one of the characteristics that's really ideal about this, if you are into eugenics, is that this really kills off a lot of old people. As a matter of fact, you know, if you're under 30, the chances of your survival go way up. If you're over 30 and if you start approaching 50 and 60, your chances of survival are nearly nil. And so,
okay, I mean, so we got all these different possible motives, but just following up on what you just said, and you consider that China had the one-child policy from somewhere around 1980 until about, what, four years ago or so? So they went for maybe a generation and a half with a one-child policy, meaning that basically for every working-age person or for every person under the age of 40, you've got at least, like, two elderly parents that they're supporting.
Doesn't work out very well.
It doesn't, no, and of course it's a giant burden. And this is the same thing for different reasons, but it's the same thing that Japan is currently facing, that Korea is starting to face, having this, I don't know about now, but say 5 years ago or so, when I looked at the numbers, there were more Japanese people born in the 1950s alive in 2015 than there were from any other decade.
And
that's how upside down their population pyramid is.
And the thing is that there was actually a report done by the Chinese parliamentary, think tank something or other in China, that said that one of the big problems that China was facing is that they had 440 million retirees, either retired or will be retiring, you know, in this certain year when it came out, which was just about a year ago. And they said, this is a real threat, because many of these people did not provide for their old age.
Mm-hmm.
And if they don't have children to take care of them, they can sort of be considered a threat.
Yeah. Their pensions, I don't know how representative these are. I've talked to a number of, or seen a number of, some data on the pensions, and I think typically the pensions are going to be on the order of a few hundred dollars a month. And how far does that go in China nowadays? I really don't know.
Well, they said that it is this retiring population who didn't conscientiously prepare for the future is now considered kind of a threat.
Mm-hmm.
If you could come up with a bioweapon or a virus that differentially killed a lot of old people.
Mm-hmm.
China has 1.5 billion, and 440 million isn't a lot. But
it could differentially kill old people, but it wouldn't differentially kill old people who didn't prepare for their retirement. But what do you think of the idea that it was introduced from the outside and introduced into that area because it would be plausible deniability?
That's one of the three choices. One, it just evolved in the environment. Two, it would escape from the weapons lab there. And three, that some other agent released it there close to that weapons lab, you know, for deniability. You know, and I would say that, you know, if you look at it, like I say, if you were trying to create a bioweapon, this has a lot of the characteristics that you really...
Is there anything
really
to the reports that we've heard that it's got, like, HIV sequences spliced into it? Is there anything to that?
I would say that people who I've read two scientific articles on this, and they said there's so much similarity to certain genetic sequences that it would be a long time before someone could actually prove that.
All right. Well, one more segment. This is our last break. Are you going to be with us on the other side?
Sure, I can wait.
Okay, thanks.
If your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
When your doctor tells you you have bad cholesterol or blockages in the arteries, what do you do? When diet and exercise is not enough, we try medications and hope for the best. For the last two decades, I have been telling people about a natural method to help solve these problems and more. Extendovite can help maintain cardiovascular health and lower blood lipid levels in adults. The seven herbs in Extendovite are known to work together synergistically to get the results we hope for. There are many testimonials on Extendovite's effect on circulatory-related ailments. Get Extendovite today to start your journey back to a healthier life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or see us on amazon.com.
Extend your life with
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future. Welcome back to the show, National Bugle Radio. So at the top of the show, I said, I really don't know anything about coronavirus. I had some questions, and William from Montana has risen to the occasion, and I really appreciate that. So we've just got a few minutes left. What should our listeners be on the lookout for? What are your final thoughts on this coronavirus?
Well, one of the things is that, you know, that in spite of the Chinese government saying, hey, we're doing our best, and I think we're turning the corner, there's all these announcements that have come out, like the Chinese, they've made restrictions on any public meetings, sporting events, blah, blah, blah. But they also came out and made an announcement, and they said the country's annual parliamentary meeting, which is a big thing in China, scheduled to occur in early March.
The Congress of People's Deputies or something like that?
Right. Will most likely be delayed, and that it's never been delayed, ever. And so that sort of shows that in spite of saying we're turning the corner, it doesn't look like that. One of the things I want to say about that, that project, it's called Event 201 Pandemic Exercise, the highlights reel. You can search for that. It was held at Johns Hopkins on November 4th, and it's so right on. It's almost like, except for the names, like, well, this one occurred in South America, blah, blah, blah. It's so detailed that Johns Hopkins has come out with a mea culpa, and they said, look, we did not make any predictions. I mean, that was just coincidence. And if there is any coincidences, it's pure coincidence. We didn't know anything. We were just sort of making that up for an exercise. And another thing about that is that if you're looking, to say, is this going to eventually affect me? I started going around. I've been a prepper for a long time. And one of the things that has come out is that if you live in a hot, humid area, like southern United States or southern China or the Philippines or, India or places like that, the infection rate goes way up. Mm. And if you're in a cold climate, this infection rate goes way down. So, one of the reasons I came to Montana was to get away from, sort of the coast, because, again, they say that people in large urban areas in coastal regions will be more susceptible to this. And so if in thinking about, what would be the best thing for us to do, well, one of the things that you should do is you should know something about how to protect yourself from viruses, and a mask is not the first order of business. There's a lot of problems with those little paper masks. They can actually increase your chance of getting stuff like this. They're like sort of concentrators. And so you really probably need to look up how to protect yourself from this stuff, how to maintain independence, mm-hmm. and also how to figure out when things are serious enough for you to have conclusions that are a little more drastic than you might normally feel.
Well, William, thank you so much for calling in. I didn't shine the bat light this show, but you rose to the occasion anyway. Thank you very much. Tonight we're going to have I'll be recording with Jeremy for tomorrow's episode. And so come back again tomorrow for another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.